Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for that, Mary. From Amman, Jordan, this is The Fetch, and a good Thursday afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. I want to welcome everybody to Inside the Eye Live, of course, prime time for this Thursday, May 17th, 2018. The weather here in Amman is, well, it started out a little bit cool this morning, but towards the latter part of the day, warmed up to hit a high of, I don't know, like 90, 91 degrees, something like that, around 4 to 6, 4 in the afternoon. It stayed actually that temperature till about 6 o'clock p.m., and that meant that the house here warmed up quite a bit, and having left the air-conditioned confines of Riyadh, made for me at least a lazy, sleepy afternoon, as I'm just not, quite frankly, used to the heat. I'm used to just kind of like camping out in front of air conditioners all day, but that's not the case here in Amman, where I don't have an air conditioner, everybody, so I just kind of camp out and sleep a little bit. Anyways, evening temperature have taken a while to cool off, even with temperatures sitting at around 75 degrees at 11 o'clock p.m. and currently resting at about 75 degrees as we head down to a low of 68 degrees in the hour before sunrise. Winds are a moderate 9 miles per hour coming out of the east, and the current time locally is 1:02 in the morning. You know, this week I left Riyadh on Tuesday. I had an early morning flight. I was with one of my colleagues discussing some of the issues here in Saudi Arabia with the Defense Department, some of the municipal issues, and basically just trying to get some information before I left, I guess you could say. So I was out with him until about 1:15 in the morning. I think I got home at about 1:30. And had about 2 hours of sleep. I got up at about 4:15 in the morning to catch my flight out, get to the airport to get here into Amman, landed about 9 o'clock, got, everything was very uneventful, quite frankly. It was a nice, pleasant flight. Flew in on a little Embraer aircraft. It was small. I actually had to check some of my luggage that I normally would hand carry onto the aircraft. I had to check it into the plane because it just was too big to fit into the Embraer's overhead compartments, the luggage compartments. So I had to actually just kind of, sorry about that. Can you guys check this on the plane for me? But I got in pretty well, got everything handled, got in again to Amman probably about 10 o'clock, 10:30. Immediately went to work kind of getting things set up because, as you know, or you may not know, the month of Ramadan comes last night. It was the start of their Ramadan season here, the Ramadan month. So we wanted to get some things done before Ramadan kicked in because things will be closed, quite frankly, more often during Ramadan. So I just generally just kind of worked the last couple of days, taking some naps. Took a couple hour nap this afternoon. So I'm a little bit rested, but you know, you do have the Ramadan. There's quite a lot of festivities out there from sundown, up to about 10, 12. It actually calmed down fairly well here. It was pretty noisy in the neighborhood out through about 11 o'clock, 11:30. But right now it seems very, very quiet. And that's all a really, really good thing because, quite frankly, I'm used to Riyadh where it is quite a bit less noise. Telephone lines, everybody, is, let's see here, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Not sure how we're going to get, you know, we're always going to get through the show. Don't worry about that, folks. Not sure where the show is going to go, quite frankly. I pulled up a lot of stories, but I don't have a real logical sequence on how I want to do the show today. So it's going to be kind of probably a little bit of hodgepodge thrown together, but hope you like the show. Normally you do. I know that, but good afternoon. And then, of course, good evening. Chat room, of course, is available. It's InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com, and then you can click on the live chat button. Yesterday, I went into a district here in Amman called Balad. Not sure how to pronounce it. I say Balad and Balad. I think Balad. But nonetheless, I went in and doing really shopping, getting the house restocked. I wanted to get it restocked before I just kind of settle, just so I don't have to go out and do any more shopping. So I did a lot of shopping the previous 2 days. Today I just kind of kicked back and didn't do anything, literally. But the last 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, were spent out shopping, getting everything restocked, what needed to be stocked. The house was fairly well stocked, quite frankly. But I met a guy in Balad is a bustling downtown area, a lot of small shops, a lot of wholesale areas. And went in to buy some stuff, and I did something, and I didn't buy from the guy. I didn't go into this store to buy, but the guy said something to me, and I just kind of ignored him. And then he says, "Yes, I'm talking to you in the sunglasses." Well, that was me then, the only guy in the sunglasses. And I said, "Hi, can I help you?" And he asked me, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from the United States." He said, "Well, what part of the United States?" And he said, I told him I'm from Los Angeles. And he said, "Well, welcome to Jordan." And I said, "Well, actually, I've been in Jordan for about 10 years now, but thank you very much." And then he said, "You know, because this is the week of the Nakba. The Nakba is the Jewish ethnic cleansing of Palestine, really, is what it was when you had, I mean, the Jewish country, the Jewish peoples, essentially, as we view their behavior now, these are international global terrorists. They are genocidal freaks, essentially. They live on this idea that they're the victim, but in reality, they victimize pretty much everybody they come in contact with. So I was, you know, I get it, and I live here. I understand how the Palestinians feel towards the Israelis, and everybody knows, quite frankly, the Israelis are a bunch of thugs. They're largely barbarians. They are uncivilized. They're uncouth people. A lot of them are just disgusting human beings, quite frankly. They're not somebody that you want to get to know unless you want to allow an uncouth kind of evil within your midst. There's nothing really about the state of Israel that warrants any type of praise. It just isn't there. So a lot of what you see in the media out there and a lot of what you see in the politicians and this fawning over the state of Israel, what it's really showing you is just how much power and how much control Jews are able to leverage from behind the scenes. And, of course, that's using a lot of the purses, the purse strings on the political process, which means, by and large, Jews aren't really – they aren't. But their numbers are small, so they're able to control basically by buying politicians. This is corruption on a huge scale, needless to say. But going back, you know, it's the Nakba, it's the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians in 1948. And, of course, along with this ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians comes this idea of a right of return. And to most Palestinians, the right of return is non-negotiable. As far as Palestinians are going, Jews are terrorists. They came in, kicked them out under threats, not threats, but actual terror. We're talking about mass murder on a scale that we haven't seen, quite frankly, since the killing fields of Pol Pot, or perhaps what was going on in, well, Vietnam was pretty brutal too. But basically, you know, you were looking at a genocidal regime, which is the Israeli state, and they came in and they literally ethnically cleansed pretty much key strategic areas of Palestine and made way for these, you know, this kind of evil entity known as the Jewish state to come in. And to the Palestinians, they will never forget this, and nor should they, nor should you if you were under the same conditions that the Palestinians are in today. And so he said that, you know, he left Palestine as a baby boy, like 4 or 5 years old. And he left, and the Jews basically dispossessed him of everything, stole everything from him, obviously including his childhood, which we can understand. And there were a lot of people around. They were very uncomfortable. They weren't happy about this guy talking to me in this way. Maybe he'd think I'd get angry. Maybe they'd think I would do, I don't know what their feelings were, but it was a very uncomfortable subject for these people to talk about. And of course, for me, it's not all that uncomfortable. I said, look, man, I got a radio show and I do talk about what you guys have going on here in Palestine. I didn't say it's a nonstop talking about what's going on here. But nonetheless, I said, look, I do advocate for you guys. I do speak about the problems that you are facing. And that was just kind of to deflect from the reality that this guy may be getting angry with me as an American sitting here who is seen as a stooge of the Jewish people, because America does nothing, quite frankly, to stand up to Jews and their terrorism, as a practical and pragmatic observation. So anyways, that kind of happened today. But then you had this Nakba gathering, and unbelievable the amount of barbarity we have seen coming from Jews this week. And you're talking about literally Jewish snipers having a field day, killing some 60 to 70 people, unarmed people here in Gaza this week. They tear gassed and injured another 10,000 people in Gaza. And in Israel, although I don't have access to the mood on the street, I can probably guess that there's a lot of celebration there, because at the same time that they were having some celebrations in Jerusalem about some embassy openings in Jerusalem, Jews were mass murdering people inside of Gaza. Now, as Americans, as people of a civilized nature, we watched Donald Trump and these idiots within the U.S. military launch and blow apparently some $200 million worth of cruise missiles against Bashar al-Assad's, or the Syrians, really, based on a fraud, based on some stupid gas story. And here we have absolute stunning evidence of mass murder by Jews against Palestinians, clearly unarmed, in what is essentially throwing dynamite into a fish pond and then just picking up the slaughter that you've done. And there's not an ounce of condemnation. All we hear about is, both sides should show some restraint. That's actually kind of hard to say, guys. Both sides should show some restraint. That's got a lot of shh in there. That's kind of a soft thing to say. And of course, that's kind of what's intended to do, is lull you to sleep. Guys, the Palestinians are the ones who are exercising restraint. They're getting shot up left and right in what is essentially an effort to break a siege by the Jewish state against them. This is a siege going on here, folks. This is no different than launching, you know, surrounding some type of fort and trying to break it down piecemeal by piecemeal. What's going on here is a siege of Gaza. And to Jews, to a man and a woman, they support this. You'll hear some Jews in America writing about how, oh, this is a terrible thing, and oh, we can't have this happening, and it looks us Jews, we're more civilized than this. And no, actually, you Jews aren't more civilized than this, guys. You're some of the biggest mass murderers of the 20th century, and quite frankly, everybody has seen it, and everybody understands it that's in the know, and we actually do, quite frankly, understand it. And what's interesting is that this Nakba story and the massacre that we saw in Gaza this week, they kind of go hand in hand. You know, the Palestinian people, they want their freedom. You can't blame them. They want to get their freedom back. I mean, they've lived for 70 years under the thumbs and the bootstrap of a bunch of psychopathic, insane, mad dog, disgusting animals, essentially. If you can call MI-13 or MS-13 the gang, if Donald Trump can call MS-13 animals, and what does MS-13 do? It dominates, it tortures, it takes organs out of bodies. Well, there's no difference between MS-13 and the Jewish people aside from methodology. The means are the same. The methodology is a little bit different, but the mentality is the same. You know, here in this Gaza Strip thing, I thought Al Jazeera did a good job kind of explaining some of it. And what we're looking at here inside of the Middle East right now is cowardice of an extreme degree. Absolute cowardice. Here we've got human carnage spread out through kilometers of territory inside of Gaza. And all we hear is this nauseating nonsense coming from the political elite. Exhibit, Canada's foreign minister, Chrystia Freeland. She remains silent while Palestinian after Palestinian was literally summarily executed. And that's been for weeks on weeks now by Israeli thugs, by Israeli terrorists. I don't even know what you call Israelis nowadays, guys. I try to find some humanity in everybody, but it's really hard when I know, and I know this is true in the U.S. military too, folks. We Americans are not immune to being acting like Jews here. But when I see a group of people that sit there behind berms and they're willing to just shoot very lethal types of munitions. These aren't even normal bullets, folks. These are meant to literally explode inside of people's bodies. And they're shooting people like rolling tires in the sand. Well, why would you shoot somebody rolling a tire in the sand? Why would you shoot an 8-year-old? Why would you shoot a 9-year-old? What is the madness of the Jewish people that allows them to do this? And, you know, for years and years, we have talked about this here on this show and through other writing efforts, of course, but mainly through the show. And for the most part, we don't get a lot of resistance, you know. But, you know, I'm watching the carnage now. And all that Chrystia Freeland can say is something like, concerns and sadness. What do you mean concerns and sadness? Why aren't you calling on the Canadian government to declare war against the Jewish people? Why aren't you looking to rid your government of Jewish traitors so that you can deal with this Jewish threat? And it's not just a threat to Gaza. This is a threat to all of us because they want to use this mentality against everybody. They did it to the Soviet Union, killing some, 66 million Russians. They did it to the Germans, killing some 7 to 9 to 11 million Germans after the war. Look at the way their propaganda was used against the Japanese to deadly effect. Folks, these aren't good people, period. Stop thinking that you're dealing with something you understand. If you think it's good, it's not. Read their books. Read their religion. Understand their deception. These are exceedingly sinister people. Or maybe I'm misreading shooting people like for sport in Gaza. Maybe I'm misreading that, folks. But I don't think so. We had another eyewitness accounts and photographic evidence coming out. A former journalist basically, these thugs, you know, the bottom line is what we saw. Monday, Tuesday was a massacre, folks, of a most monstrous proportion. People are saying, well, Jews are becoming like Nazi Germany. And I'm saying, no, Jews are just becoming Jews, folks. This is the elevation of the Jewish spirit on mankind. This is what a Jewish world looks like. It's all about suppression, oppression, and slavery, destroying people's lives, destroying people's ability to speak, destroying pretty much everything about what is good and pleasant on this planet. That is the nature of what it means to be, quote unquote, a Jew. And of course, they will always complain to you that, well, you know, we're just victimized. No, the victimization is coming from my English is losing sometimes. It's coming from a response. The response to Jewish terror out there. And imagine, you know, here you got a line of Jewish terrorists. You know, they're not even terrorists. They're just basically executioners. Rather than using a guillotine or rather than using a drone or rather than using machine guns, they're just sitting. Literally, these Jews are sitting behind a berm with high-powered sniper rifles. Okay, that's the method of execution that Jews are using right now inside of Gaza. And they're sitting up there. And the people of Gaza have lived under a siege now for years upon years, probably over a decade or coming up maybe 15 years now. And all we hear about is Gaza. We hear about Hamas and terrorists. And like, what don't you guys get, man? People have a right to vote for whom they want. Jews don't deserve to even exist in that country. They have fraudulently taken that land, and they defrauded all of us in the West in order to get that land. Not only that, but they have destroyed our countries as part of this operation to take that land. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres tweets out, and I mean, he's the top diplomat. He's telling everybody to show some restraint, and that he's concerned by the escalation in violence. There is no escalation in violence per se. This is simply one side deciding to go out and mass murder other people. It's that simple, folks. Anyways, I it's a little bit of sadness looking at what's going on in our world, because, you know, we look at the European Union here, and all they do is they talk about the words conflict. Well, how is there a conflict? The Palestinians don't even have anything bigger than rocks they can throw, basically. And they got some very, very light munitions that are basically harmless when it comes to the world of warfare. Where exactly is the conflict here? There is no conflict. It's one side imposing itself on the other, and the Palestinians seeking to defend themselves here, or at least and also to break the siege. Then they talk about restraint. Well, what restraint, folks? They talk about Hamas. Why Hamas? Why aren't you talking about the IDF? Why aren't you talking about mass murder? And even at the International Criminal Court, the chief prosecutor, all they do is, well, they're examining the situation to take warranted action if necessary. Well, the fact that it's Jews doing the mass murdering, we know that Jews have bought and paid for virtually every single element of our societies out there. And they believe at this stage that they are free, literally, to terrorize and to prosecute any type of crime against anyone, anywhere in the world. And there's absolutely nothing that you can do about it. And one case in point here is the jailing just this week, if not jailing, but the sentence handed down to Jez Turner. Jez Turner is he's been on this show. He gave a speech a while back ago. He was he's a British veteran. He's 48 years old. He had basically talked about the Shomrim. And the Shomrim inside of the UK is a separate Jewish police force. It basically is autonomous. It operates outside of the police. The UK people fund it. And basically, he basically just mentioned that this thing exists. Then you have this Jewish Israeli front agency, the Committee Against Anti-Semitism. They're essentially a treasonous element. No doubt about this within the UK. They went out and they sought to get this thing prosecuted. Initially it was dropped. It should have been dropped because this is a kangaroo court. All of us have a right to freedom of speech, to freedom of expression. That is ingrained in the human rights of the United Nations, of which the UK, of which America, of which pretty much most nations on this planet have agreed to abide by these resolutions, these declarations of human rights, one of which is the freedom of expression. And what Jews are doing here is that Jews as an international organization, they have not signed this. They do not believe that you have a right to freedom of expression, and they do believe that they control your governments, that they have the ability to use control of your governments to essentially say to all of us that our human rights no longer have any precedent. Our human rights don't exist anymore. It's whatever Jews and their lobby say is the law of the land of that day. So basically, Jez Turner, again, he's been convicted of quoting let me get back to this a little bit later. Folks, it's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Of course, Inside the Eye Live, primetime. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, primetime for Thursday, May 17, I think it is, 2018. And again, welcome back. I'm coming to you live from Amman, Jordan. And I think that's going to work. Let me see if... Yeah, let me cut that out. You know, guys, I traveled back and I had so much stuff. You know, I think I was allowed some like 46 to 55 kilos between everything to come back. And, of course, I carted out a lot of stuff out, bringing back gifts and food and stuff like that that you can't buy in Amman, quite frankly, because we don't have a huge Philippine population here. And as you guys know, I'm with the Filipinos here. And so I brought back a lot of food that I actually enjoy to eat. But basically, I thought I had everything packed, but I am actually missing my cable that goes from the computer over to the mixer that allows me to actually let you listen to things. And so I had to borrow the one from the one out front, and it's just not as good as the one I had. So I'm going to have to go buy a new cable, everybody. What can I do, man? I thought I brought everything out, and I don't have the darn thing. You know, I don't know, guys. I feel a bit tired today. I'm not sure why. I know it's early in the afternoon for you guys out there. It's, I want to get, 1:30 in the afternoon, evening, morning here. Warm. I feel very warm. I'm like wanting to like duck behind some air conditioning. Sometimes Saudi Arabia spoils me with that free air conditioning because you're working and living in. These residence hotels, so everything is free, so you could just kind of pop in. I just want to state a couple things before I get into some of the station promo stuff. One is the surgery. You know, people, I've gotten a lot of emails. I haven't even answered the emails, quite honestly, but I've got your emails and I've read them all. At least everything came up to about 5 o'clock today. And I just want to say, first of all, thanks a lot. Seriously, thanks for the tweets, the private messages, the Skype messages, the email messages about my eye. No, it's not good, quite frankly. It's going to take a long time to heal. This was a severely detached retina. We had to go in and drain all the fluid out of the eye and then let it fall back down into place. And then it had to be positioned and then resutured with a laser. And it's going to take at least 3 months, hopefully, that it's going to repair to the point to where the vision is going to come back for the most part. And what's really interesting, I was talking to my colleague, and he drives, and he told me that he actually had the exact same surgery I was talking about many years ago, and he's pretty much lost the vision in his eye also. He said, all I can see is like haze and blur. He said, I've gotten used to it now. It's been so many years, but like he can't see the M of a McDonald's sign, for instance. He just sees a yellow light. And that's kind of what I see. So no, it's not good. It's going to hopefully, well, it's going to take at least 3 weeks just to get the post-surgery stuff done out of the way. So I got to find some retinal doctor here that's cheap enough to go in and get just a checkup to make sure everything is okay. I'm still under orders to not lift anything heavy. I'm still under orders to not lie down face down. I'm not supposed to lie down on my right side because it's the right eye. I have to lie down if I'm going to lie down on my side on the left. So we're still in that phase of the operation. That's going to be another 2 weeks. And then after that, just it's a matter of letting it hopefully heal. And then I'll go back to Saudi. Once that is done, right now I have this silicon, what do you call this? Silicon oil inside the eye. So you have it's basically not clear. It's kind of a yellowish haze. As I look up at the lights, yeah, it's kind of yellow compared to the other eye. So basically it's got this yellowish haze and everything is blurred. Kind of like you're looking through some fog, I guess you could say, or some type of, a glass that's got fogged up. It's been fogged over, something like that is really what it looks like. Maybe a bit of lightly sanded glass, something like that perhaps. But, I can see objects as I look out through my eye. Oh, is that thing turned on? I didn't know that was turned on. That wasn't very smart. I have to charge that. I have a lamp over my desk here, and it was turned on. It's chargeable, guys. It's a chargeable LED thing, and it's, I don't know. I didn't even know it was on. That's that. I was using my eye. I was like, hey, that looks kind of, something's on there. Yeah, but anyways, guys, it's going to take some time. I think we're going to be okay, but we didn't lose sight at least, and so hopefully we'll get back to Saudi in a couple months, and I'll go get the secondary surgery done. And hopefully after that secondary surgery, or not secondary, but second surgery, things will start to clear up even better and I can start to see again. So thanks for all the well wishes. And it is now Inside the One Eye Live, coming to you live from Amman, Jordan. This is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. And, of course, without your very kind donations, it's really hard for us to do what we do here. You know, I just finished configuring the laptop, for instance, to do video. And I got to leave that out. This cable's terrible. I got to get some nice cables. But, we did some, where was I there? Yeah, I did some reconfiguring of this new laptop I got to do video. It works pretty good. It looks like I got a little problem on the video card. Not the video card, but the camera itself, the driver on the camera. But for the most part, I've been able to use it today, got it configured, and boy, much better than my production audio laptop here when it comes to doing video. So I'll have to start practice to do some more video at a quality that I like to do. I'm kind of like got certain things in my mind. And that, of course, takes money. Really, it takes money, guys. I still got to buy some software. Some of my licenses on this laptop, the old laptop, for instance, aren't going to be portable to the new laptop, and I want to keep the license here on this laptop. It serves a purpose, so I'm going to have to buy another license, and not much. It's like $70, but you got to go buy it. You got to keep things legal. We do try to do things legal here and keep things up and up and straight and all of that kind of fun stuff. So, folks, same works with the studios. Studios got to do its investment. It's got to keep its thing up. We do run what we consider to be professional shows. We're not making tons of money at it, but we do run and put together very professional efforts, and that takes money. You can't do it, quite frankly, using a crappy mic and bad equipment. That's not why you tune into Inside the Eye Live. I know that. You want to hear a good quality effort, and we try to bring that to you each and every show. And that, all of that does take money, though, folks. So, guys, keep us in your thoughts when you're out there donating to some of the platforms out there that you want to keep alive, up and running, because it is, quite frankly, exceptionally necessary. It is that time now where I got some stuff to talk about here for sure, and it's the Cat Report. And it is proudly sponsored by, really, right now, friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. I got to write something for you, Grism, over there. But grism.blogspot.com is really one of the premier podcast aggregation sites out there. Grisms is the official podcast archiver for Inside the Eye Live. And, of course, anytime you go to grisom.blogspot.com, the podcasts that are there are often edited out. They're not often. I will say often edited out, corrected, and made very smooth so that when you tune in and listen over there, you're getting a very good listening experience. And that takes time. It takes effort. Again, so, again, we don't want to harp all the time, but this is the type of show where we do harp. So if you got some money to send over to Grisom, at grisom.blogspot.com. Believe me, everything little helps. Of everybody out there, I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. You know, and I appreciate your donations. I plow it right back into the products, the station equally. We're all pretty much, but Grisom, I know they could use some assistance there too. So do what you can. Cat report, kind of interesting. You know, I flew in. Of course, I'm home. First of all, I'm home. So right now, one eye. If you've gone to the chat room, you know One Eye. He's with me right now. Hey, One Eye, One Eye, buddy, buddy. He's sleeping, folks. He's sound asleep on a towel I put on my desk here. So One Eye is casually camped out right here. One Eye, One Eye. Yeah, I'm giving him a nice neck rub, and he ain't moving, so he's out. So he's here, and he's camping out. Bruiser is not here. Bruiser's disappeared. But Bruiser, it was great to see the cats. You know, what's interesting is that they left the cats in the house on Tuesday when I was coming home, and One Eye literally has not even left. He left. He just goes upstairs, goes to the bathroom, and today I went to open the front door, and he was just waiting there. He must have just gone out, went to the bathroom, and was waiting to come back in. He kind of like gave me a nice little nod and a quick meow, which is really a talk. He doesn't meow. And kind of like looked at, hey, how are you doing? And let me in the door. He came in and he went right back to sleep. They're worried that maybe he doesn't feel well because he's sleeping so much. And I'm thinking, no, I'm home. He's happy now and he's just going to camp out. That's probably the case. Bruiser, his hair, folks, is knotted. He's a long-haired cat and his hair is all knotted up. And so we're probably going to have to take some scissors and cut those off because these are some very serious knots. We're not going to be able to cut the knots. We're not going to be able to brush these knots out. So I'm pretty sure we're going to have to be giving Bruiser a little bit of a haircut here for the summer months to cut down on some of the knotting of his fur. And then a sad thing. We went out for a walk on Tuesday night. We went towards Third Circle here in Amman. If you know this, if you know how Amman is laid out, so we were heading over to Third Circle. It's actually heading down to an area called Abdali. It's not a big walk, but it's big enough. Hey, One Night. Aw. Yeah, he's so cute, guys. He's just so cute. He's very cute. He just shifted his body. Now I can see him. He just moved. But yeah, we went walking. There was this female cat. She was pregnant. That's not a great thing to hear, right? But she was pregnant. She often came to the window, I was told, by the girls here, and they would give her a lot of cat food, just feed them. You know, she was one of the few fat cats that would come up and get fed, and we saw her get hit by a car on Tuesday right around 6 o'clock in the – not even that – yeah, probably 4 o'clock, 4:30. And it was really a sad thing to see. She was pretty much taken out. Don't want to get into the gory details, but she managed to get over to the trash can and expired there, basically. She was in obviously massive pain, but it was a good friend of One Eye. One Eye and her got along very, very well. So I don't know if in cat parlance they can talk to each other in the way that humans sometimes can use parapsychology, but One Eye looks like he's kind of sad. To be honest with you, he doesn't have that chipper look except for when I got the chicken or the fish around the table. Then he cheers up a little bit, but he's been really down and just sleeping. He doesn't appear to be sick. He's eating fine, but he's been very, very down. But I'm not saying that's why he's down, but that was a very sad thing to see happen for sure because we actually witnessed it and that we don't normally witness it. We normally see the after effects of the cat just having perspired. Oh, my English is terrible today, isn't it, guys? Mike, I don't want to hear too much today, man. Talking about Michael Goodrich. He's a good guy. He gave me some good constructive criticism the other week. But anyways, it was a tough week for that. But other than that, man, it's great to be home. It's great to have the cats around. It's warm, so I don't want the cats really hanging out on me. Bruiser is loving it because he's now allowed back into this part of the house. He's normally not allowed into this part of the house. He's been sleeping with me the last couple nights because I usually work late. I go to bed on my own little private little mattress here, and he's camping out with me the whole night. Now I got one eye sitting here on my table, my desk. So life is good, everybody, in the cat world, and that's a great thing to see. So they're having a lot of fun with that type of stuff. And I'll tell you what, yeah, this cable is just not good. Folks, I got to go get some more cables this weekend, man. These cables are just not good. It's funny, you buy these new cables and they get shipped in and they're just not good. Quite frankly, they're just not good. This looks like this is it. Go here to here, and I think we're going to be ready to roll with what is now the...
Oy vey! Oy gewalt! It's like another shower!
Oy vey!
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Peers.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And this week's Oy Vey Moment is coming to us out of the unlikely place of Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires, is that Argentina? Buenos Aires, yeah, Argentina. And it's about a teacher. Her name is very close to me, Denise. That's right, Denise Janet Evacuez. She's been relieved of her teaching duties for saying, get this. This is drastic stuff, guys, and definitely worth getting you guys relieved from your teaching. Jews took advantage of the people who needed money. That's right. Just saying, Jews took advantage of the people who needed money in a Jewish parlance is enough to get you fired from your job. And that is basically what has happened. I'm sure there's a little bit more to this story. But she is a teacher, and guess what? A Catholic school, a Catholic high school to be exact, in Buenos Aires. She repeated what was called anti-Semitic stereotypes and said Hitler did good things in a lesson caught on camera. Well, to the Jewish people out there, you know what? We have watched you guys continually suppress us over and over and over and over. And the point here is that when you look at where Germany was under Jewish rule in the Weimar Republic and where Germany was after the National Socialists came to power, it is absolutely without question that the National Socialists did some very good things. They were able to create a viable society without the need of Jewish banking systems, and it was exceedingly successful. Now, how Jews can say that's not a good thing tells us that Jews don't want good things to happen to everybody else, except for perhaps them. It seems to point to a vindictiveness that is uniquely Jewish on the global scene. What is it about saying that somebody did something good should cause you to get yourself fired from your job? How is it that admitting the truth gets you fired from a job? How is it that in a Jewish society, literally just talking about World War II in a way that Jews disapprove is cause for you to lose your job? Now, she, Denise, was a history teacher. She told her students that Hitler was demonized when the United States entered World War II and seemed to justify why Europe was always anti-Semitic. Again, there's nothing wrong with this. What this is showing us is that Jews really are intellectual terrorists. That is actually very true. Guys, we as Americans were a German nation all the way through up until the 50s, even up into the 60s. You could still take German in high school when I was going to high school in the 70s. German was so widely spread throughout the nation. It was such a German nation that German was actually taught as a second language in our high schools. Jews, by the control of the media, were able to create this lynch mob mentality that would attack anybody for even admitting to the fact that they were German. Now, where's the lynch mob mentality for anybody admitting that they're Jews? See, why not change the cycle here? If you admit you're a Jew, why should there not be a lynch mob mentality? Because if you're going to have this constant anti-German, anti-Westernism that Jews portray, these are de facto declarations of war. And as such, aren't we then also having a right to defend ourselves, as Jews like to say, as a mass murder and massacre Palestinians at will? Do not the people of the West have a right to, quote unquote, defend themselves? Well, of course they do. Jews, of course, will argue to you otherwise, that they have a right to defend themselves, but you do not have a right to defend yourself from them. That's really what is being saying here. Jews, she said, took advantage of the people who needed money. They loaned the money and then they chased them to get their money back, always with interest. They had the money, but they did not help Germany improve. They did not help the people to generate employment nor to create industries. This generated a certain hatred towards Jews. Well, what is wrong with that statement, folks? Why are you getting fired for admitting something like that? Because all of that is basically just common sense, second grade knowledge that should be taught in high school. See, we've gotten to the point here where we are not allowing us ourselves to simply speak freely. And how dumb is that? Folks, you cannot allow yourself to be boxed in by a bunch of intellectual terrorists. Now, for the Catholics, I hear all this wonderful stuff about, oh, Catholicism, but why are Catholics now banning teachers and firing teachers who are making these types of statements? Again, she's a teacher. Her high school is called Jesus Maestro, I guess Jesus Master, in Castellar. It's a neighborhood in the western area of Greater Buenos Aires. The class was recorded by a student, and the video since Monday has gone viral. Well, this is all good stuff that it's going viral because people are hearing about it. People are now seeing even more and more about Jewish totalitarianism. That's the point here, is that we have casualties everywhere. This woman apparently doesn't have a right to defend herself. She is unilaterally assaulted, attacked, and lost her job. Where's her right to defend herself? Where was the right of Jez Turner to defend himself when basically you had a kangaroo court? There was no right to defend ourselves in these cases. The head of the school, his name is Alberto Coronel, told reporters this past Wednesday that Ivoquez has been relieved of her teaching duties but did not clarify whether she was fired or if she will be. Students in her class, now get this, this is the Catholics. How stupid are the Catholic Church right now? Students are in her class are being asked to write a report about the rise of Nazism and the Holocaust. In other words, you're telling your students, go be a bunch of frickin' morons because we got to keep Jews happy. And that's really what it's boiling down to. We keep coming up with these idiotic mentalities that we're supposed to be a bunch of morons so Jews can be happy. We should just call Jewish culture, Jewish-run cultures, the Society of Abject Morons or something like that. Now, there's, of course, a Holocaust museum everywhere, and Buenos Aires is not one that would be not, I mean, in the city of Buenos Aires, I mean, come on, you're going to have one, right? But anyways, the Holocaust Museum of Buenos Aires said Wednesday in a statement that everyone reproduces anti-Jewish prejudices, vindicates the figure of Hitler and the Nazi regime, and denies his criminal, totalitarian, and genocidal character. Well, to the Holocaust Museum spokesman, I'd like to say, you're talking about yourself. How about you start taking credit for Jewish crimes against humanity? Why don't you talk about the totalitarian of Jewish people when you're seeing people getting fired for this? This is evidence of the very same totalitarianism that you're complaining about. Folks, these museum officials are, to me, criminals. To me. I just view that as a criminal mentality. These are people that are bigots, they're racist, they hate the humanity. They want humanity to continue to focus on being the dumbest type of human possible. And folks, I'm not about seeing humanity always dropping down to the level of a Jew. How low is that? Oh, let's go giggle and shoot up some kids today. I'm a Jew. That's what Gaza taught us this week. And then Jews en masse are saying, oh, if you talk about this, you're not. Well, okay, well, who would not want to be an anti-Semite if you're saying I have to support mass murders? I don't have a need for that. So basically, Jews in Buenos Aires, of course, they must be a small minority there, but they are looking for everything possible in order to cause as much harm and trauma to this teacher as possible. Again, it points up to the vindictive, sadistic means or nature of Jews, bottom line, as a culture. And of course, we see these stories day in and day out. And for anybody that wants to try to come and defend Judaism and the Jewish people, in my face, give it a try, folks. It's going to be very, very difficult for you, but give it a try. That is this week's Oy Vey Moment, again brought to you by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com, simply one of the finest podcast aggregation sites out there on the internet today. And if you have any recommendations, by the way, what you'd like to hear over there, let us know. It's the Fetch Inside the Allied. Right after. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Ally Primetime. It's Thursday, May 17, 2018. Good Thursday afternoon, everybody, to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And a good late afternoon again, late evening, really, to early morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, as yours truly is broadcasting from, where the local time is, what, about 2:03 in the morning, yeah. You know, there's a big collision course going on inside of the EU right now based on American Jewish-run politics. That, of course, in this case, we're talking about the Iranian sanctions and what the Iranians are doing. Not the Iranians, but the Europeans are doing is they would like to basically keep companies working in Iran. It's business. It's money. Things like that. But that so far, they've put out a law that says basically you're not going to be able to not work in Iran, but the companies are having a second say in that because companies also manage big portfolios in the United States. They do not want to be sanctioned by the United States directly in America, so a lot of companies are not working now. And anyways, the Europeans let's just leave it at that. The EU would like to keep the companies working inside. Now, they've passed a law that says that, you know, basically they would like to see these sanctions not take effect against European companies. They actually like to even fine European companies. But they're saying that the reach of the U.S. financial system and the risk of losing business in the North American market made noncompliance basically impossible for many firms. Now, EU efforts are continuing with trading. EU efforts to continue trading, I should say, with Iran, despite the reimposition of U.S. sanctions, look to be crumbling on Thursday despite a fresh plea by French President Emmanuel Macron, speaking at the EU Western Balkans Summit in Sofia, Bulgaria. Macron said that Europe would try to protect European companies with Iranian business interests despite the threat of U.S. retaliation when sanctions bite later this year. Now, President Trump has said that, again, U.S. is suspending participation in accord with that was brokered by Barack Obama. And it went on to say that we've had vibrant discussions on Iran. The 2015 nuclear agreement is a crucial element of peace and security in the region. We have opted to support it. This is Macron speaking, that is. We have opted to support it, whatever the U.S. decides to do. And but apparently French giant, oil giant Total is saying that it will it will basically go along with the United States. It's going to go against the French government here. The EU cannot compel or really protect the private sector, quite frankly. And so therefore, Total's actions are being done in such a way as to ensure that their market share is protected around the world, and the U.S. financial system, being a Jewish-run system, is just simply too overwhelming at this point in the game. So Maersk, which is the big shipping giant, their CEO Soren Skou said, "With the sanctions the Americans are to impose, you can't do business in Iran if you also have business in the United States. And we have that on a large scale." He said, "I don't know the exact timing details, but I am certain that we're also going to shut down in Iran," Show told Reuters in an interview following Maersk's first quarter earnings. And another thing coming from EU Financial Services Chief. What is this guy? U.S. sanctions would be global reach. EU Financial Services, EU Financial Services Chief Valdis Dombrovski stated here, "Indeed, the EU blocking regulation could be of limited effectiveness there, given the international nature of the banking system and especially the exposure of large systemic banks to U.S. financial system and U.S. dollar transactions." That was Dombrovski speaking to the European Parliament. So it looks like the Jews in America are going to get their way with Iran again. There's a lot of talk in the region about a war with Iran. The Americans look like they are going to be building up bases here in Jordan. That may be at some expense to Qatar and to Turkey. I'll be trying to get more information on that as I hang out here in Amman. But nonetheless, this Iran thing is not going to be easy. The Iranians, for their part, I think they're stung a little bit, well, maybe a lot of bit. But at the same time, you know, national interests have to move forward. And, of course, we Americans, we do not have any national interests. We have only the interests of our Jewish leadership. So we Americans, we are out of power. People say to us, "Fetch, why don't you guys do something?" I say, "Well, the nationalists don't have any power. This is America's a Jewish-run country. And therefore, people, they just go along with what Jews tell them to do. And there's nothing that we can do about it, even though we would like to do something about it." But it's just not going to happen until we can obviously get some more power back and bring some more sanity back into our politics. But for now, it doesn't seem to be there. In fact, just today, Congress in the United States passed or introduced a new resolution. This is how it, you know, just by the time you respond to something Jews do, they're already putting something else on the table. And what they did here is they're considering a new measure to recognize Israel's Golan Heights, to recognize Syria's Golan Heights as essentially being Jewish territory. Representative Ron DeSantis, he's a Republican out of Florida, which is a huge treasonous Jewish district, I guess we could say. He is a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He introduced a resolution that could lead to an historic recognition by the United States that the contested area fully belongs to Israel. And that is according to a copy of the amendment contained are obtained by the Washington Free Beacon. Now, Israel annexed the Golan Heights in their mind in 1981 following the Six-Day War in the late 60s with Arab nations, of course, in the region. The United States has declined for decades to take a position on the status of this territory, but following President Donald Trump's decision to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, DeSantis and others see now basically juicy an opportunity to continue to dominate American foreign policy and impose upon the American people and the world at large a global foreign policy backed by the U.S. military, which is essentially always seems so eager to engage in anything that helps the Jewish state. Their own Pentagon, their own headquarters gets bombed by the Israelis and there's no defense. It's pathetic. You know, the American military is a pathetic organization. You know, support the troops, all this crap. Guys, you can't even support your own nation, man, for the most part. You guys are just weak, very weak. Another story, and this is someone we speak to all the time, and that is this idea of clamping down on Jewish ability to buy politicians. And the way Jews buy your politicians is essentially donating to political causes. And of course, you're paying for it anyways, folks, because it's going to be a tax write-off regardless. And a group of deputy district attorneys in California, my old home state, are speaking out against liberal billionaire George Soros pushing huge sums of cash into local district attorney races in the state. Now, do you get that, folks? This is coming from California deputy district attorneys, and they're saying, look, George Soros is buying up all of the district attorneys inside of California. Can you guys get a grasp what's going on here? They're buying up the nation. They have destroyed the bank. They haven't destroyed the banking system, but they destroyed the banking system for you, the people. They've taken basically all your ability to be able to manage your own affairs. And now they use the money that they've taken from you to go buy up your country. That's basically Jewish strategy in a nutshell. Just go buy everything. Now it's buying the district attorney. So Soros has funded numerous progressive district attorney candidates across the country. Recently, he poured some $1.5 million into the California Justice and Public Safety Political Action Committee, which his longtime measure established to support Genevieve Jones Wright, a far left candidate, a traitor in other words, for district attorney in San Diego County. Now, of course, that's a key point, folks, because if you can control San Diego County, that's the gateway to what? The gateway to Tijuana, Mexico. And of course, if you have a far leftist criminal element controlling the government in San Diego, it is far easier then to allow for mass migration coming in through San Diego, because it can come into San Diego and then disperse throughout the country, heading up into, of course, Los Angeles. They go on to say here, now the Association of Deputy District Attorneys, and they don't have the same Soros money, they are the professional association for the deputy DAs of Los Angeles County, which is my old home county there, has released a statement on Soros' involvement in the state, chastising the financier for his assault on the criminal justice system. See, folks, this would be where I was from. This would be people I would have associated, the old white part of Los Angeles, perhaps, the old white Masonic that people always want to attack the Masons, I guess, but the Freemason, Masonic, white Los Angeles that a lot of us were part and parcel of. And perhaps there's some vestiges of that still in L.A. County, but that's kind of what they're saying here. One of the latest and most disturbing is occurring right now in San Diego County, said the spokesperson Michelle Hennessy. She said there, out-of-state billionaire George Soros is bankrolling for district attorney an inexperienced deputy public defender who has never held a management and leadership position in her office, but she has promised to be soft on crime if elected. Now, mind you, I don't like district attorneys as a general rule. I think a lot of district attorneys are just corrupt, disgusting human beings equally. They will go after innocent people just because. District attorneys aren't necessarily the nicest people on this planet. However, the point here is that another group is speaking about the same thing we're speaking about. We need to find ways to block Jews from buying every politician everywhere. Look, Jews are 2% of your population. Get this straight, everybody. 2% of the population. They should not be allowed to unduly influence populations where they don't even have any representation. Why is somebody from, let's say, a huge super PAC out of New York, funded by a bunch of wealthy Jewish billionaires, allowed to go buy up campaigns in Montana, for instance? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And let's see if this is going to add here, folks. And I hope it does. And it looks like it. Frank, hi. Welcome to Inside the Ally Primetime.
Hey, Fetch, thank you for taking my call. I figured it was a perfect time to break in just with a little quickie here.
Okay, go ahead.
Something that I heard that I think we can all relate to, because this guy has been, he's kind of had one foot in the mainstream media and one foot in the alternative media, and his name is right. Gerald Celente. He's the guy that puts out the Trends Forecaster.
Yeah.
Publication. I think it's online. Yes. Okay, he's been around for a long, long time. And, I hear him on mainstream shows over the past decade plus. And, he's a lot of people might know him from Alex Jones and a lot of other shows. He's pretty much everywhere. But I heard him yesterday, and, he was kind of riled up, getting on a rant. And the host asked him on a show, about, what's going on. And he said, the Jewish mafia, this is Gerald Celente, okay? The Jewish mafia runs America, okay? And I'm sure a lot of people are rolling their eyes like, who cares what Gerald Celente says? But, he's never gone that far. He usually does this white shoe boy routine and does whatever he can to stay away from really who's behind all this. That's the first time I've ever heard him go that far. And I don't know whether it's because he's angry or desperate or what, but or he's been emboldened somehow, or maybe he felt like he was in a safe venue to say such a thing. But anyway, I just thought that I put that out there for what it's worth. I got Alex Jones about 3.5 years ago to admit the same thing after about a 10-minute conversation with him. He said that the, quote, Jewish mafia – he said, well, I will say this, the Jewish mafia is at the heart of the New World Order, unquote. You can find that on the YouTube. But, I knew Alex Jones knew that, but I got him to admit it on live on air in front of his audience and for posterity. And but anyway, now Gerald Celente has said it. So I thought that was kind of in line with your current.
That is interesting, too, yeah, because I know Gerald Celente is kind of like one of the bigger A-listers in this alternative media. So for him to come forward, that's like John Kaminsky years ago perhaps talking about the Jews too much and getting kicked out. So we'll see what happens to Celente now, huh?
Yeah, he's just kind of, pushed the envelope with that. He kind of raised the bar. Yeah, you better watch his back now, I guess. But anyway, I give him credit for saying
yes, it has to be said. Thanks so much, Frank. All right, that's Frank, everybody. That's working. Okay, great. Yeah, if you'd like to call in, also 323-1323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. You can also join us in the chat room at InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Then click on the live chat button, and that will get you in the door there. And joining us in the 708 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Did I interrupt, Fetch? Were you getting started on something?
No, it's okay, man. It's your show, too, man.
It's my show, too. What?
It's your show, too. It's everybody's show.
I apologize for a little bit of noise. I'm still on the road, and it's a noisy truck here on the road here. To go on what Frank just said, Joe Salenta used to be an A-lister. We used to be on some of these, like, mainstream talk shows and whatnot. And then I don't know what he said he did or what happened, but they just kind of kicked him to the curb. And basically all his work is in, you know, independent media stations, you know, people that are independently owned. Of course, you know, like Global Star and Revolution Radio. And he gets on Alex Jones here and there because he runs that Trends Journal. And he's been doing it a long time. He's successful at what he does. He comes up in the neighborhood. Oh, he's on Wentz, too. You know, but for him, you know, he's outspoken about a lot of things. I didn't hear this broadcast. I would like to find out which one Frank was listening to. But for him to get as angry as he is, but he's probably, you know, it's affecting everything he does. He watches the trends. He watches money. He watches, you know, all these things. That's his business, watching trends. And who's behind these trends? Guess who, right? The people that have the money, the people that have the power. Am I wrong?
Mm. Yes, it would make sense. I mean, got to tell his listeners something. And his customers, too. He has to come straight with them equally, you know?
Sorry, I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I was just saying. Yeah, go ahead, though. The audience.
No, go ahead. You say it again. Let's repeat that.
I was just saying that for Salenta, he's got to come clean with his customers, you know, and he's got to tell them what's going on at some point in the game here. He just can't continue to kind of like deflect from the reality of what he's doing. If that's the analysis, right. The analysis.
Well, to ping on that, when he's on Rents, he has an enlightened audience. If he comes on a broadcast for Revolution Radio, he has an enlightened audience. But when he goes to the Alex Jones show, that's a different story. He gets the omitted, lied history version of things. So, but he has an audience nonetheless. You know what I mean? They're half awake.
Correct.
So that, for the credit there, I'd really like to know about what would set him off to where he would actually say that. That's very interesting. Something I do want to talk about to you with here, Fetch, and that's, did you hear on May, and here's what I heard, a report. On May 1st, Israel made a deal with the Palestinians for their electric. Now, the Palestinians are going to be in charge of their electric now for a ransom of $951 million. Did you hear anything about this?
You know, I didn't hear about it. That's a huge number. I can't believe anyone taking a risk knowing Jews will just blow the shit up. Excuse my language, but just blow it up.
Yeah, for somehow May 1st, they made some type of deal, and I'm wondering if this is a deal that Trump set up, because obviously the Israelis wouldn't do this on their own because they control, excuse me, they kept Palestinians electric. They shut it off. You know, they play games with them with their electric, right? So I'm wondering if this is part of the deal with Trump moving that opening an embassy over there, that he had made them do this. But for a ransom payment of $951 million, after all the history of what we actually know, go ahead.
Well, I'm not familiar with that. You know, I do see a quick story here where Palestinians are going to centralize their electricity sector. But I don't know if that has to do with Gaza or yet anything. I would have to really study that. But for Gaza, it's like there's almost no electricity. Anyways, the Israelis are responsible for it, but they just don't deliver it.
Right. They keep playing games. If they shut it off on them and so on and so forth. Another thing, I didn't hear what he went into by Alex Jones today. I only listened to the first 2 hours, and he didn't talk about it. But he made it as like a talking point that he was going to get to later, that he was saying. Now, he doesn't want to say that nobody died at Sandy Hook or nobody died at Parkland or nobody died in Las Vegas. He doesn't want to give in to any of those other conspiracy theories. But now he wants to keep talking about Israel, that Israel has the right, blah, 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 and all this other stuff ever since this happened on opening day of the embassy. Now, he's saying, Alex Jones tried saying today, that 58 of those 60 killed or 56 of those 58 killed were Hezbollah. And most of them, now that they're finding out, had suicide vests on and grenades, and he was going to go into a story like that.
It would have been
so you can weep for Israel. That's what he was getting at. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it was Hamas anyways, but that's not the stories we're hearing over here. This was basically just open-ended massacre by the Jewish people over there.
Tell us the latest version, would you?
Well, the latest version is basically you had tens of thousands of people out there starting to congregate towards the gate, you know, which is, you know, they're tired. They're just, they have no life anyways. It's hell there. There's nothing. You know, they have no electricity. They have no water. So they're trying to break the siege any way they can. And this is, of course, a huge emotional day, this Nakba day. And they were basically going there in solidarity saying, you know, we want out. Let us out. And Jews opened fire. Plain and simple. Just opened fire, tear gas, and it basically made hell. And when it was all said and done, you had 70 people were killed and over 10,000 people were injured. So this was a massacre. Any stretch of by anybody's read, call it what you want, but it ain't the Palestinians shooting the Israelis. The Israelis aren't even being touched. They're just kind of like behind berms laughing at it all. This is not something where Jews have anything to stand on. You know, this is like them going to the local hills and cheering on, you know, the carnage down below, and, you know, treating it like it's a Sunday football game.
It's all sports for them. So as the Palestinians are getting, you know, as you mentioned, and it's all true that, you know, they're shooting them not with beanbags, not with rubber bullets, not with water cannons, but exploding bullets. So if they hit them in the knee, it explodes. The largest population of amputees in the world at this point.
Correct. It's like, what the heck, man? What do you, this is, and again, why we didn't now launch an attack against Israel like we did against Syria? Why didn't we launch 260 cruise missiles against Israel? See, I mean, the hypocrisy coming from the U.S. military is just pathetic now.
Right. Well, I mean, just to bounce on that, I don't want to stick on it, but, you know, using chemical weapons, phosphorus gas in 2010, right?
Well, phosphorus gas, and no matter how you cut it, tear gas is a type of chemical weapon.
And there you go, too. They're using drones to drop tear gas on them and whatever else, you know.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. So, you know, at the end, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay,
these people are
the Cosmic Oracle.
I mean, the Israeli people,
if you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show,
The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% radio, and now we return you to
your host. You know, I can only imagine that. Yeah, you were talking about that. I was thinking about her going to Israel because she goes on this other broadcast a lot, and she's on Twitter, and she was like covering Las Vegas, and then she went to Parkland and whatever. Again, she's bogus. So she knows what's going on, but she looks the other way and gives us another story. So here's me thinking she goes to Israel, and then you know what? She's hanging out in Tel Aviv. She's probably in some orgy, you know. She's probably, you know, doing all this, you know, the masochist, you know, sycophant stuff that they're all into over there. As people say, you know, Tel Aviv's the gay capital world next to San Francisco, you know. So who knows what kind of crap she was getting into. But the other thing I want to bounce to, and I'm sorry I'm over-talking you here, but, you know, as these Palestinians are getting hit and slaughtered and killed and what have you, it's Jared Kushner's big day. He's giving the speech, and oh, my gosh, and here's Alex Jones. Jared Kushner's got a voice, and he sounds manly as he gives this speech. You know, what bogus, man. It's just obscene bogus. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we were actually into a break there, and we talked and walked our way all the way through the break. So I was like managing that side of it. But yeah, I don't trust anybody in these the alt-right that are like this. You know what I mean? The alt-right guys that were coming out a year or 2 years ago. You know, whatever happened at Vegas is a huge cover-up. Parkland's a huge cover-up. All these things are huge cover-ups, man, which is like the FBI. I don't know if you saw the stories coming out of Washington, but they're looking at criminal prosecution of more inside the FBI. But the FBI is like the entire thing should be almost disbanded. It's a complete waste of American taxpayer money. They're there largely to fix the problems by this Jewish mafia. That's kind of where I'm at, you know, and then the loomers talking like feeding these stories as if there's somehow a real story. It's like, come on, lady, you know, give it a rest already.
Well, the FBI and the CIA are blood brothers. You know, they intermingle. They do each other's dirty work together. FBI, I heard the other day that the FBI actually, even though it's a domestic, American domestic agency, they have headquarters around the world in different places. Now, I can't be more specific than that, but that's kind of strange, isn't it?
Yeah, I always wondered, why in the heck is the FBI over here in Iraq? Why is the FBI here in Jordan? You know, what are you, every time I hear about these guys, like, what are you here for, dude? You're a freaking domestic company. You're a domestic operation. What are you doing here? You know, I don't say that to them. I don't want to make problems for myself. But I'm like thinking, you know, when I meet them, what the hell are you doing here, man? Get out of here. Go home. Why are we paying you to be here? Go home.
The FBI has been, I don't know. No, see, people think the FBI is so great. They think they're this, you know, they think of Elliot Ness. You know, they had a TV show with Elliot Ness, and they think of this heroic, you know, by the book and Boy Scout, you know, men and women in the FBI. And they did a lot of that propaganda through the movies and the TV shows and what have you. Now, the realistic part of it is, sorry about the earphone, what's the FBI's famous saying, that they create more terrorists than they catch? Is that how it goes?
Mm-hmm.
Right. They develop more terrorists, like the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. They created the whole mess only to try and, you know, make it look like they're stopping it. Or the episode in Texas where they were following these guys all the way up to a gun show or some event in Texas. And they ended up turning around because they got stopped and people wanted to know who the heck they were. You know, I'm probably getting that story botched up a little bit, but let me talk about something a little more domestic, and I want to ask you this and I'll hang up.
Okay.
I heard the other day in South Carolina, and your friend that called in a couple weeks ago, and he was giving us some lowdown over there with Lindsey Graham and all them. He was talking about Trey Gowdy, and they're all part of this good old boys club that's all about Israel and so on. And he gave us a great lowdown. He was a great, you know, very informed, great speaker, laid out stuff, and it was very informative. Well, I was listening yesterday with Brooks Agnew and Lucky from TFR, and they were talking about South Carolina introducing this law that was totally like, you can't say anything, you can't boycott Israel, you can't say anything bad about Israel, you can't do anything, and there was just this long laundry list of things, you know, basically what they have in Germany and elsewhere. If you say anything about Israel, do anything about Israel,
yeah, it's
you're
like
a criminal.
It's like, what more proof do you need that these freaking Jews manage and run everything? Because who else would care about something like that in the political system? Who cares? Why? I mean, as a personal thing, I don't care about Israel if they would just stick out of my nose, but they don't. You know, they're everywhere. I mean, they're telling me what to think, what to write, how to speak. You know, I'm not, obviously not me personally, but when I see their actions across our nations in the West, it's like these guys are the enemy of the American people, the British people, and no other way around it.
Well, and as you, I hear, was my thought when you were mentioning that politician in Florida that's trying to, I forget exactly how you said it, but he's trying to say something where we're going to recognize Gaza being part of Israel,
yeah,
and that's going to be the bottom line.
The Golan Heights.
The Golan Heights. Yeah, even though it's Syrian territory, is that correct?
Yeah, that's Syrian territory.
Right, with all that oil there, that genie oil.
That's where the oil is, and that's where we saw the recent exchange of artillery fire last week.
Right. So here was my thought of that. There are all these politicians out there. They put all these laws and stuff in place, and it's for Israel. Literally, in America, they're doing all this stuff in benefit of Israel, and it's so great for Israel. But when they do laws and stuff for domestic stuff, it's always against us. It's bad for us. You notice that? That was the twist I took on that. They say something about Israel. It's great for them, and it's wonderful, and they're going to get money, and they're going to get protection, and they're going to get immunity, and you know, we're supposed to look the other way while they step on our head. And then, but when they make a law or something for us, it's, well, we're taking away something from you, or you can't do that now, or you're going to get punished, you're going to get fined, you're going to get, you know, think about it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and it's so bad now in Israel that you can't even, like, demonstrate art. You know, if you put any type of artwork up, you can get yourself smashed or worse. My goodness, you can't speak in Israel. Not that they speak anyways. 89% of their country agrees with everything the government's doing. So there's not a whole lot of dissent over there anyways. But Israel has become essentially the pariah state on this planet, with America not far behind. We just can't be trusted because we're run by them. I mean, we need such a huge purge. It's unbelievable. We need a massive purge. Medical, education, political, judicial, military, you name it. We need a mass, culturally, the purge, it can't come soon enough, quite frankly.
Absolutely. You know, I also heard the other day that Bulgaria is getting new school books, and one of them primarily is like history books. Well, one of the, I don't know what he was, he's like a security advisor, some big dude in the administration up there, and he was like, what we're really ticked off about is they're rewriting our history here in Bulgaria. They're omitting a bunch of stuff, and they're putting a bunch of stuff that's not even true. And the people that are publishing this is coming out of Texas. So the publishing house is out of Texas, and as we believe I know here, is that the U's have bought up most of the publishing houses, and they create the textbooks that go around, I know, for the school systems here in the United States, and obviously at this point, the for countries like Bulgaria.
I wouldn't doubt that. I haven't heard that story, but I honestly wouldn't doubt that. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that at all. You know, if you read the Protocols of Zion, man, it says we write history. You know, they actually say that's one of the key protocols, is that we write the history that people believe in. And if those who control the future, the past, control the future, as they say. And it's gotten to that point, you know, with Jez Turner being jailed this week, or at least going to be sentenced, if not jailed already, for what? For stating a simple fact. They're making it to the point now where you even simple facts, Jews are saying, look, if you say a certain fact, it doesn't matter that it's a fact. We're going to do something to you. And then they're going to complain to us about the anti-Semitism that's obviously going to be coming back as a backlash. They can't go on forever. It's pure evil.
Well, it takes us speaking up a lot more. You know, Fetch, and here's a big thing, because we know Europe is being overrun. It's a white genocide there. We know South Africa, what's happening in South Africa. What's happening here in the United States, it hasn't exactly caught up, but it's a creeping thing. They're creeping in the numbers here. There's something's going on. They're doing something. It's not just the fluoride in the water. They're doing something more to the water and the food, or maybe through the chemtrails, who knows. They're doing something that is, you know, like the fluoride. It's supposed to keep people docile. That's the whole purpose of docile and dumb. So they're doing something more to it, because there's just no way that Europe and like Sweden and Finland and Germany, that they're just going around, oh, I'm raped, ho-ho, rape me again, ho-ho, you know, and then everyone's going, oh, that's part of their culture, they can rape you, that's fine, oh, raping 10-year-olds, that's fine, you know, and nobody's doing anything about it, yet they're like, oh, we got to be more open. We got to be more better to these people. And then they can do whatever they want because it's their culture and whatever. And they're coming in by the droves and literally drowning these people out by demographics. So they must be doing this. Either it's the something through the cell phones, the microwaves, the signals, drugging the food and the water. What's your thought on this? That the people are just laying down and without even a bullet, not even a shot fired. You used to have to come with an army to take over a country. Now they're just going, oh, well, these people are coming in and, you know, roll over, and they're going to take your house and your food, and you got to pay for them too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm I'm kind of like agreeing with you. I'm I would say all the same things you're saying, whether it's the microwaves, the electromagnetic fields, the programming through years of just programming, you know, programming the brain and through the television, the radio, school books, etc., the food, vaccines, you name it. It's a full court press. I mean, this is literally a war against the Europeans. You know, just to give an idea, there's a, let me see if I can find this story quick enough. But there was a tweet put out by the Board of Deputy Directors, Jewish Board of Deputy Directors or something like that. And then they put here that Jews and Muslims must work together to destroy anti-Semitism. And there's a big, big story just coming out now that the two groups are saying we need to smash anti-Semitism. And I'm saying, and anti-Islam sentiments. I say, yeah, but what you're really saying is that you're declaring war on the Western world, because you're saying basically the Western world must put up with your mentality. And I was immediately blocked. I mean, literally, they blocked me instantly. I was shocked. Literally, I was shocked, you know, just to see my Twitter account blocked. So I can't read their tweets anymore. But literally, it's a declaration of war. I mean, they're openly declaring war. When they say we must tackle anti-Semitism, what they're saying is we're declaring war against you, literally. Because they're saying is you're not allowed to compete and offer differing opinions that go against us. Hi, Frank, welcome back to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Fetch, just call back in because somebody said I might want to mention where I heard Gerald Celente make that statement.
Yeah,
that the Jewish mafia runs America. Okay, a lot of you guys might not be familiar with it. I've been following this show on and off for some years now, but they're getting more and more emboldened with their criticism of Israel and dual Israeli citizens in America and that kind of thing. They actually devote quite a bit of their one-hour daily Monday through Friday show to it. You could probably look it up. It's a father and son team. It's Ted, like, you know, short for Theodore, Ted, and Austin.
Yeah, Ted and Austin Brewer Show, which I usually listen to, but this week I kind of put them on the back burner because, I don't know, for some reason they were ticking me off, they were raising my blood pressure, and I already had Alex Jones do that. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay, yeah, it was Wednesday's show, so that would be, what's today, the 17th? I guess it would be May the 16th, 2018. It was Wednesday. Wednesday's broadcast. You can look them up and find where you can listen to it on demand, I believe. Of course, I'm not on the internet very rarely, but it broadcast on Global Star.
Yeah, I'll send Fetch a copy. I got their archives. I got that in my computer, so I'll send Fetch a copy of that so Fetch can hear it himself.
I think I made a mental note. It's about 20 minutes into it. About 20 minutes into the show. Okay.
Okay, sounds interesting, guys, because I hadn't heard that.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Frank.
Yeah, I'll send you a copy of that, Fetch. Okay. I listen to their show, and they talk a lot, and they're right. They're very outspoken, but, so, you know, lately, I don't know, sometimes I got to back off of some of the shows I'm listening to because my blood pressure, you know, I listen to stuff on the job, and, you know, there's only so much of this tension because that's all I hear is, you know, we're being invaded, you're being poisoned. That's all I'm hearing everywhere, ever left and right, but nothing's being done about it. They've been talking about this for 50 years. They've been talking about this since, you know, the early 60s, right? I mean, once people started getting over the war, you know, the PTSD of the war, you know, am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Like mid-60s when getting into Vietnam and Kennedy was assassinated, and then JFK, King was assassinated, and then you had the new immigration laws that were introduced, and, you know, the anti-segregation. That's when people started really getting into a fervor. Is that about right? I mean, I'm not old enough to know, but it sounds about the timeline, is it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this has been, you know, even the Europeans, they tell me that, look, what's been going on in the UK has been going on even right after the war. You know, they were shipping people out.
Well, all I heard is, we went through World War II, and it totally destroyed Britain, okay, the UK. And it turned their, you know, people were desperate. They needed food. They were on rations and so on. It turned their wives and their daughters into whores, basically, into impoverished. You know, they went from this, we're British and, you know, tea and crumpets to, you know, they were basically whoring themselves out. They lost their husbands. They lost their sons. They lost everything. Their houses were bombed and so on and so forth. And then a lot of the men that came back, they said that when they came back from the war, they didn't recognize their country anymore. Because basically, with them being away at war, not just the fact that it was bombed and whatever, but all these different people from other countries invaded their country and set up shop. Like the demographics, like they went away to war and came back and the demographics were different. Did you ever hear about that?
I haven't heard about that, but people have to mention that, no, this demographic replacement was going on right after the war, because they were even shipping men out to Australia, et cetera, and then replacing them with Pakistanis and some of these, mainly the Pakistan and India. So this is a long-time strategy to destroy the UK. It's almost as if the UK served the Rothschild kingdom very well. It spread the empire, but when it became no longer useful, they've gone and done everything possible to destroy the UK and its people itself. Since the purpose no longer exists, so we don't need you anymore. Let's kill off.
The bottom. See, we are the Christians, the Northern Europeans, so on. We're producers. We build things. We created things. We invented things.
Correct.
You know, and most of what the rest of the world has is because they stole it from us. We gave it to them, or they stole it from us. We know the Israelis today, you know, everything that they have, everything they developed, they pretty much stolen from us. Either we stole it or people like Hillary Clinton sold it to them. You know, they got our tech. They got eyes on all of our communication systems, our computer systems. We just found out that the computer chips Intel, the factories in Israel that produce all the Intel chips, so they got back doors to our computers. They got back doors to our cell phones. They listen to all our conversations. They take in all our emails, our texts, you name it. So even if you are a white person, a Northern European in America, and you invented something great and it's going to be the next billion-dollar idea, guess what? You better have not have texted that, emailed that, put it on your computer or anything, because some Israeli is going to turn around and they're going to invent it first.
Yeah, and then they've got all the money and backing to where they can figure it out once they've got enough of your information. And that is so true. Yeah, people don't really grasp that, but it is so true. Part of this spying thing, it's all about stealing what you can. If you have a business rival and it's in the political process, sabotage their business, take away their ability to earn money. That's what the spying is for. They've never caught a single terrorist. It's all about getting in the way of progress, literally.
I can't think of a single great American invention in quite a while now, except for someone coming up with a new style of oven mitt or, you know, a new little squirt gun. You know what I mean? All the big inventions are gone. Now it's Facebook, YouTube, and, you know, Dropbox. They're the big inventors, and Twitter. And where are all those places based out of? Israel, with tech stolen from the United States. How about that?
Well, and it's all based on Internet protocol, and the Americans invented that. So take away Internet protocol, and none of these places exist. And that's a key point that we should be sticking firm to. Look, we invented the Internet protocol. If you don't follow our construction of what is freedom of speech, etc., then we should block you from being able to penetrate our markets, just cut you off.
And speaking of internet, and Ted and Austin Brewer show, they were talking about how AOL, Yahoo, I see some of these other sites, they're coming up with new terms and conditions. Well, the email sites like AOL, Yahoo, I know Skype is pulling some stunt to where, here's what's going to happen. If you have a free AOL account, if you have a free Yahoo account, if you have a free Gmail account, basically what they're saying is they're going to have the right, starting like May 25th, to go and read all of your emails. They're going to have the right to see what you sent, read what you send, read what you received. They're going to have the right to receive, look at anything you've had since the first day you've ever opened that account. They're also going to have the right to go into your banking.
See, and the point here is that none of these should even be allowed, because there's absolutely no need for it. You know what I mean? There's no need for them to take this stance. What do you need to be in my emails for? And, of course, we the people should regulate these idiots right out because they have no reason to go into our emails unless they're looking for theft. I mean, the only reason you need to go in is if you're looking to steal something. So, basically, you're trying to steal. By operating a service, you want to steal the information in the service.
Well, they're doing the same thing that they're doing with the social media accounts. So they can openly read your Facebook, or they can openly read your Twitter. They can openly see what you're doing on YouTube. And like what they're doing in Germany and all those places. Right. So all those places like Germany and whatever, they're going, oh, well, we saw on your Facebook you wrote this. That's hate speech. We're going to arrest you. You're in jail for 6 months to 10 years. You know? So now, but when you got your private email, well, that's not public. That's not on some Twitter feed or whatever in public. So now they're going to go in there and look and see if, you know, I hated that that you the other day. They took my lunch money and, you know, I can't stand the guy. Well, that's hate speech. And they found that in your email. How about that? I think, what do you think that's a possibility there, don't you think?
I can't imagine it getting that bad. But, you know, if they, you know, all I can say is if you push the envelope far enough, it's life is elastic and it's going to spring back on you. It always does, always has. And right now they're pushing and stretching as far as they can. But life is elastic. The pendulum swings all the time. I mean, you just don't want it to get as bad as the Soviet Russia, where they have enough power to kill off 60, 70 million Americans. That's all.
Right, right. Well, the whole thing with the Skype thing was it used to be, when it worked better, it used to be peer-to-peer. Now they did it to where it's like this group thing. And the reason they did this, like, change it from peer-to-peer to whatever it is they're doing now is so they can keep track and spy on people better. That's my understanding of that.
Well, it used to be peer-to-peer. No, it makes sense because that's all they want to do. It's like they, for whatever reason, they feel a need to spy on everything. And obviously for me, that's desperation. Dude, you're wasting so much time and money on so much useless crap. But they catch what they catch, and then they can sabotage what they can sabotage.
Right. Well, so, my understanding now with the new terms and conditions with the Skype, because there's something said about this, is they're going to be, if you use your stuff and you start saying things they don't like, which would be like hate speech, if you talked about things that they don't want you to talk about, they're going to, like, I don't know what they're going to do, lock you out of Skype, bar you from Skype.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. All right, let me take another call here. I got one more call coming in, then we're going to wrap the show
right,
up.
Thanks, Patch.
Thanks.
Sorry to talk to you.
No worries. Wolfman in Oregon, go ahead.
Yeah, calling from Rotland. Hey, you know, the other thing they're doing to us, and I've told you, Fetch, is I'm being sprayed with poisons constantly, like this really fine mist. And then the other thing is, you know, I'm shot with these weapons that are like a microwave or some kind of electrical base constantly. And it's my head, all my skin is falling off my head, and all my skin is falling off my feet, and I'm shot every single night up just about.
My feet popped up like a lollipop,
what happened.
Like a hot dog, you know, literally like a microwave hot dog.
Yeah, that's exactly. It feels like a microwave. Sometimes you feel like you're scanned. Sometimes you just itch all over. And then, like I said, at night they'll shoot me in my feet. My feet will fly straight up in the air. And I can see I've gotten like an inch of skin that fell off my head and my feet. So they're using all sorts of weapons. This is all Jewish technology. But I want to talk about the propaganda that I heard this past week. One thing I heard him say, and you were talking about the exploding bullets that the Israel death squads are using on their Palestinian prisoners.
That's a good point. Yeah. Israeli death squads. I think that's probably the best way to describe it at this stage.
But here's the thing, Fetch. They're saying today on the radio this week that they're only shooting these people in their legs. Well, the thing is, the kids' heads are right at the parents' legs, so it's disgusting that they're admitting that they're shooting kids right in the head. And the other thing is, you know, they were talking about how, well, you know, the Israelis were the ones that really came there and developed that land. Before that, the Palestinians were just wandering all over Jordan and all over the whole area. They had no real home in Israel or Palestine or whatever you want to call it. And it's just dirty propaganda, and I'm so disgusted.
For the record, the Palestinians were the most educated of all the people in the Middle East before the Jews came.
Yeah. Everything you read, but you listen to NPR or even these right-wing stations, and it doesn't matter which side you're on, they all kind of repeat the same rhetoric over and over. And you know when they start you know, when they came after me, Fetch, is right when I realized in 2004, I said, you know, the Jews, the Israelis, the Saudis, and the American military were behind the 9/11. And I was kind of open about it. I was calling the shows up. And boy, I'll tell you, within weeks, if not a month later, they had the cops after me. They had me. They were hitting me with these weapons. They destroyed. They took my son away. They destroyed my life, and they're basically murdering me right here in cold blood. And like I said, I write about it on wolfout.com. If anybody wants to read how the Jews are killing me, and it's just amazing that they've done this to this country.
Indeed.
Thanks a lot, Fetch.
All right, thanks for the call. Like out there is talking about. Because I've been under that type of duress for about 3 years, and it's not a very easy thing, to say the least. Folks, we are missing the studio. I think we got maybe 2 minutes left in the show. What you could do is, again, thanks for joining us in the chat room at InsideTheEyeLive.com. And, of course, since that you would have clicked on the live chat button, thanks for the callers, 1-323-275-1314. Interesting thing, you know, stories coming out of is mainly they're being pushed by the Iranians. And wow, we are out of time now. I can hear it. All right, folks, it's Fetch Inside That Live Primetime to Saturday.